Yaha Lord Ramchandra who? Satya Pasha Parivita Pita who? Of his father, who was bound by the promise to his wife. Nidesham, the order. Strainasya, of the father, who was very much attached to his wife. Cha, also. Api, indeed. Shirasa, on his head. Jagrahe, accepted. Sabariyaha, with his wife. Rajam, the kingdom. Shriyam, opulence. Pranayanaha, relatives. Suhridaha, friends. Nivasam, residence. Chakva, giving up. Yayao, went. Vanam, to the forest. Asun, life. Eva, like. Muktisangaha, a liberated soul. Translation, carrying out the order of his father, who was bound by a promise to his wife. Lord Ramachandra left behind his kingdom, opulence, friends, well-wishers, residents, and everything else, just as a liberated soul gives up his life and went to the forest with Sita. So you can repeat, carrying out the order of his father, who was bound by a promise to his wife. Lord Ramchandra left behind his kingdom, opulence, friends, well-wishers, residents, and everything else, just as a liberated soul gives up his life and went to the forest with Sita. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Maharaja Dasaratha had three wives. One of them, Kaikeyi, served him very pleasingly and therefore wanted to give her a benediction. Kaikeyi, however, said that she would ask for the benediction when it was necessary. At the time of the coronation of Prince Ramachandra, Kaikeyi requested her husband to enthrone her son, Bharata, and send Ramachandra to the forest. Maharaja Dasarath, being bound by his promise, ordered Ramachandra to go to the forest according to the dictation of his beloved. And the Lord, as an obedient son, accepted the order immediately. He left everything without hesitation, just as a liberated soul or great yogi gives up his life without material attraction. So, Yasacha Pasha Parivita Pitur Nidesham Strainasya Chapi Shirasa Jagrahe Sabariya Rajam Shriyam Pranayana Surido Nivasam Chaktva Yayo Vanam Asun Niva Mukta Sangha. So Omagana Tivananda Shah Gananjana Shlakya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So the story of Dasarath's promise actually goes back a little further than this verse and purport indicate. It goes back many, many years before when Dasarath, of course, he had two wives. He kept marrying different wives, three wives actually. He had two wives in the beginning, and then he kept wanting more wives because he couldn't have a son. He thought the problem was that he didn't have the right wife. So we kept marrying wives. It's a similar story to that of Chitraketu. Chitraketu, but didn't stop at three. He stopped at 10 million. That's like about 12 or 13 times the population of Fiji. Can you imagine? That would be a disaster. So, anyways, so Dasarath, he met this nice girl, Kaikeyi, from Kaikeya, which is a province in India. And he went to her father, and he said, I would like to marry your daughter. And her father said, only on one condition, that her son becomes the next king. So even before Dasarath made the promise, he had promised her father that the son of Kaikeyi would actually become the king. Interesting, isn't it? That's mentioned in the Valmiki Ramayana. Then, of course, later on, Dasarath was fighting in a battle, and Kaikeyi, she was actually a warrior lady. She wasn't like your ordinary sit-at-home, roll-your-japati ladies. You understand? Or even the ladies who go to work, met doctors and things like that. She wasn't like that. She was a fighter, a kshatriya. And it also proves that women have different varnas. You know, sometimes the chauvinistic men say, women only have one varna to serve me. That's your dharma varna. No, but actually, women have different natures too. There's brahminical ladies who like to meditate. There's kshatriya ladies who like to be administrators and accountants. And there's, and fight too, you know, when the time comes. You see that. And then there's Vaishya ladies who love money. Just like sometimes we're trying to get one of our donors to give some donation and they have to ask their wife. And the wife says no. So therefore you have to approach the wife rather than the husband. We're working on one particular instance right now about that. So, and then there's also Shudra ladies, just like the Shudra men, who just like to eat and sleep and gain weight. So there's four types of ladies and four types of men. I mean, that's natural. So this Kaikeyi, she was a Kshatriya lady. And so one time, Dasarath had to fight. And she said, Dasarath, you know, I'm going to be your chariot driver. And he said, you know, this is highly unusual. Highly unusual. You cannot think of practically any other time that a woman became a man's chariot driver. Of course, nowadays the ladies are driving cars. That's a different thing. They're sarathis, sarathinis. Anyway, so she insisted, and he said, all right, you're going to be my chariot driver. And then in the war, he was knocked unconscious, and she took him off the battlefield, brought him back to life. And he was so pleased that he said, you can ask for any benediction you want. And she said, well, let me wait till later. And as I said in a previous class, you don't want to offer someone an open-ended benediction. You say, what would you want, and I'll decide if I can give it to you. Don't say anything you want, and I'll give it to you. So he said, anything you want. She said, later. And she was actually a very nice lady too. Very nice, chaste, devoted to her husband. There was nothing wrong with her. Except she took the bad association of Mantara. So that also shows us that you may be first class. And she was. No doubt about it. She loved her husband. She loved Ram more than her own son. In fact, Ram could have become king because Kaikeyi accepted Ram as her son. Isn't it? So it would have been all right, even keeping with the promise that Dasarath made to the father of Kaikeyi. But by the association of that Mantara, who is the hunchbacked nurse, she became contaminated. I mean, first of all, yeah, she was very happy when she heard that Ram was going to be coronated, and she was in ecstasy. And she walks into a room and says, this is nice, Ram's going to be coordinated. And then Mantra is just like, you don't understand what's going to happen. And she said, you know, calm down. You know, I'm so happy. Ram loves me. He loves everybody. He's perfect. He loves Bharat. There's no problem. And she said, you don't understand the whole plan. When Ram is coronated, And Dasrath will be made, and not Dasrath, but then Bart will be made a slave. And you'll be the mother of a slave. And you're going to be treated like a dog. And first she denied. She said, no, this is not going to happen. But Mantara kept preaching to her like that. And finally she said, yes, you're right. This is a fact. So then they hatched a plan whereby she would ask for her benediction. But she wasn't so sure that Dasrath would give her that benediction. So she wanted to make doubly sure. So what happened is she went to the room in her palace where the crying room. Yeah, in palaces, the women had many different rooms. There was one room for eating, another room for recreation, you know, playing with the children, and one room where the women would just go to cry. You understand? You know, just like, You should have that in every house. Because the men, they don't like to hear the women cry. It just drives them crazy. That's the ultimate weapon of a lady is the tears when she wants something. He just says, stop, I'll give you anything if you stop. So the same thing happened with Dasarath. Dasarath was so happy that Ram was going to be coronated, so he went to Kaikeyi's palace, but he didn't find Kaikeyi in her room. And he said to Kaikeyi's servant, you know, where's your mistress? You know, where's my wife? And the Kaikeyi servant said that she is in the crying room. So Dasarathi goes into the crying room and he finds Kaikeyi on the ground. And she's just crying, whatever. And he says, what's wrong, dear? What's wrong? And she says to him, you'll never understand. And the ladies say that to men sometimes, isn't it? You'll never understand, you never have understood, and you never will understand. It's true. I mean, it really drives a man crazy. Understand what? See, that proves you don't understand. You know, that's because the man asks what I don't understand, then it proves that he doesn't understand. And it's not even logical. Like, a man's brain is functioning in a certain way. So he said, this is completely illogical. And so she's crying. He says, please get up. Please get up. And then he finally says, whatever you want, I'll get you. Please get up. And then she just stops crying for a second. Really? Anything I want? And he says, yes, dear. And she says, okay. And she gets up, wipes the tears from her eyes. Well, they're called crocodile tears. In other words, they're just false tears. And she says, remember the promise you gave me? And he said, yeah. Will you give me anything I want? You know, she just wants to make sure she's going to get anything she wants. And he says, yes, 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 yes. Anything. Just stop crying. I love you. I love you. You know, they're really bewildered, you know. Because she was the youngest of the wives, you know, and the other wives were kind of old with gray hair and everything like that. And she was young. So obviously she was more enchanting or bewitching than the older wives. So then Dasara says yes, and she says, well, I want I want Bart to be coronated. And Dasara says, okay, I mean, what can we do about that? But I promised Ram, what am I going to do? But then she says, the killer, I want Ram to be banished to the forest for 14 years. And then at that point, he has a nervous breakdown. He falls on the ground, and he's just like, you know, in a coma, practically speaking. The foam is coming out of his mouth. He's just like, you know, he can't believe. He comes back to a little consciousness. He said, you know, did you really say that? No, not yet. And then she said, yes. You know, she shows her nature at that particular point, and then he faints again. And then finally, you know, he can't even say anything, basically. But she calls for Sumantra, you know, the prime minister. And she says to Sumantra, tell Ram that his father wants to see him. So Ram is there in the palace with his wife, Sita Devi. And they're talking about the coronation. And then Sumantra goes and he says to Ram, my dear Ram, Sri Ram, you should go to see your father. Your father is calling. And Ram is thinking, oh, it's very nice, my father, Peter Shri, like that. So he runs and to see his father. And his father is on the ground, like unconscious, and he's thinking, what's happening here? And Kaikeyi says, your father wants to say something to you. And his father can't say anything to him, basically. He's just like unconscious. He says, Ram. All he can say is, Ram, Ram. And Kaikeyi says, well, your father basically wants to tell you it's time to go to the forest. And Bart should become king. And Ram said, is that it? Of course. You know, without hesitation, this is the point that's made here in the verse in purport. Without hesitation, Ram says, of course. And he says to Kaikeyi, you should have just told me this. You didn't have to have my father tell me. If you had told me, I would have done it too. Isn't that amazing? How obedient Ram is to his elders. I mean, what an example. And you'll find many, many examples of this particular type of behavior in Ram's pastimes. I mean, Ram is like super obedient, super dharmic, super good example of what a person should be. Not only a king, but what a husband should be, what a brother should be, what a son should be, what a leader should be, and even what a vanaprastha should be when he takes vanaprastha, goes to the forest. Because he actually, when he goes to the forest, he actually refuses to even enter into Kishkinda, which is just a monkey city. You understand? He just stays in the forest. And he refuses to take even a bed or a cushion. He sleeps on just some leaves on the ground. And he just eats some roots. Previously, he was adapted to eating so many foods, cooked in ghee and everything like that. But in a moment's notice, he just starts eating raw fruits and roots for 14 years in obedience to his father's order. He doesn't deviate one bit from the vow of vanaprastha, which is pretty amazing, isn't it? Think about it. I mean, someone would have cooked him some pakoras or something like that if he wanted it. But he didn't deviate one bit. Completely devoted. It's my father's order. I must follow, no matter what. Even when he was offered by Bart, that Bart would take his place when he was in Chitrakoot, and that he could go back to the kingdom. No. Completely dedicated, devoted like that. So, anyway, so Ram immediately put on the forest clothes. The forest clothes at that time was the bark of trees. They actually somehow or other made clothes from tree bark. It wasn't something comfortable. It wasn't like cotton or anything like that. It was very rough clothes. And he matted his hair, which is interesting. Previously, his hair was very nice, combed and, you know, oiled. You know, generally when people here in Fiji, even they put, what, coconut oil in their hair? And combed and oiled and like that. And what he did, this is interesting, I'll make you remind. He took the sap from the trees, you know, the sap, the stuff that runs out of the trees, it's very sticky, and he put it in his hair. So it was all matted. Now, why did he do that? Well, one reason is that people in this world are very attached to the beauty of their body, which one of the points is the hair, right? Like nowadays, when the men start to get gray, they dye their hair, right? Even here in Fiji. And especially here in Fiji. And when the men start to lose their hair, they get transplants, right? You do that, doctor? You put transplants? They put transplants, and they take hair from unmentionable parts of their body and put it on their hair, their head. So it's vanity. So when one takes vanaprastha, one has to give up all the items of vanity, which means nice clothes, nice food, combing the hair, jewelry, all the things that are accoutrements or paraphernalia of a king. Must give it up. So Ram set that perfect example. Just like when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, His devotee, Jagannanda Pandit, wanted to give him a bed. And he just refused. He wanted to give him sandalwood oil. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused. He just said to Jagannanda, you know, give it to the deities. And Jagannanda got so angry, he threw it on the ground. It was all spoiled. That's the story of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But still, that was that example. And when Raghunath Das Goswami asked Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about what is the duty of one in the renounced order of life, Lord Chaitanya answered through Sarup Damodar Goswami, don't eat opulent food, don't wear fine clothes, right? Don't think of sex life, even in dreams, and always worship Radha and Krishna in your heart of hearts. You know, those are the four instructions Lord Chaitanya gave for renounced people. So anyway, Lord Ramchandra exhibited that. And Lakshman exhibited even more renunciation because it's described in the Valmiki Ramayana that he didn't sleep for 14 years. He was always guarding Lord Ram, and he didn't eat for 14 years. Can you imagine that devotion? So this is such a wonderful, inspiring example for us to follow, Lord Ram's renunciation. Okay, so that's what happened. And then we'll talk about, let's see, what are we going to talk about? Oh, we were going to talk about the birth of Lord Ram. I forgot all about that. Okay, let's go back a little bit and talk about the birth of Lord Ram. Okay, because Dasarath had married these three ladies and there were no children, he was very worried, you know, what am I going to do? So he got ready to perform something called an Ashvamedha sacrifice. However, Sumantra, his prime minister, said to him that I had previously heard from the four Kumaras who visited that you were supposed to perform a Putra Kameshti sacrifice, not an Ashvamedha. Putra Kameshti means one who wants Putra, a son. Like you see in India, people perform sacrifices to get a son. They tie things on trees to get a son. If you go to the Yogapith in Mayapur, you'll see that all these strings are tied on the trees. And this is simply because people want a son. Now, why do they want a son? Well, maybe it's to take care of them in old age. But for a king, the king wants a son so the dynasty will be continued, so that people will be protected. The proper genetic people with the proper genetic material will be kings. You don't want any rascal to be a king. Okay. So Dasarath, he was very concerned. And so the discussion was, how do we do this ceremony, the Putra Kameshti ceremony? And the answer was, you have to have someone perform it who never saw a woman his whole life. Until he got married or something. And so what happened is, they said, who is such a person who has never seen a woman his whole life? And so there was this person, let's go back a little bit. There was this sage called Vibhondaka. And this sage, he was a very angry sage. He was meditating in the forest, and he was trying to become very renounced. And generally, when sages try to become very renounced, Maya sends so many tricks. Different things can happen. Like with Vishram Metramuni, there was an arrangement for a bird to pass stool on his head. And then he got angry at the bird and burnt the bird to ashes. But generally, they send down agents of Cupid. It's like Naranarayan Rishi, incarnations of the Lord and Arjuna. We're meditating, and Indra, he sent down some dancing girls from the heavenly planets. And they were dancing. He sent down Spring, personified Spring, Cupid firing his arrows. And they couldn't do anything because, you know, Krishna's pretty detached. And so Narayan, he created another more beautiful girl from his body. Her name was Urvasi. And he said to the demigods, you can take her home with you. You know, you think I'm impressed with the girls you have, here's a better one for you. So the demigods, they generally do that. Because why do they do that? Because they think someone's performing austerities in order to become Indra. So they sent down this girl from the heavenly planets. Her name was Harsha. It means good smiley girl. You win with a big smile. So she came down from the heavenly planets, and there's this poor Vibhantaka there, you know, just meditating, chanting his rounds, Hare Krishna, like that. And then she says, hello. And he says, goodbye. And she says, hello, hello. He says, I love you. And he says, goodbye, goodbye. What, chupero? You know, shut up. And she says, you know, if you don't give me a child, I'm going to commit suicide. And you're going to be responsible for killing me, and I'm a Brahmin, Brahmini. And he said, this is ridiculous. Just when I try to meditate, everything goes wrong. And so, anyway, he gave her some of his genetic material. He didn't touch her because he wanted to maintain his celibacy. And she said, she was thinking, this is not exactly what I want. So basically, she gave that to a deer. And the deer gave birth to a child who was had a horn on his head, Rishi Sringa. You know the story? You don't know the story? Rishi Sringa? I think most of you know the story of Rishi Sringa. So the deer, the mother, a woman deer, she gave birth. You know, it was like a genetic, embryo transplant or something like that, like they do nowadays. Actually, they're doing this with extinct species now. They find what's called a mammoth. A mammoth is like one of the old type of elephants, frozen in ice in the north, and they take the genetic material, and they can put it within the egg of a elephant, and the elephant gives birth to an extinct species. Soon they'll do that with dinosaurs, too. And you're going to have all sorts of little creatures running around the earth that don't belong here right now. So anyway, the deer gave birth to a baby, human baby, with a deer horn on his head. That's Rishi Sringa. But the father was so angry with women at that time, he told all the women, you know, no ladies permitted in this whole forest or else I'll kill you. And even got rid of all the lady animals, too. No tigresses, no does, that means a female deer, no female cockroaches, you know, nothing. Just get out. This place is for us brahmacharis only. Like you used to see this in ISKCON sometimes. The brahmacharis would just get really angry at the women, take vows, we're going to be lifetime brahmacharis. Didn't work. But I even performed marriages for some of them. So it was the same thing. You know, they had this, he had a hate towards women. So he protected this Rishi Sringa. Rishi Sringa grew up from the time he was a little kid, a little horned kid, whatever it is. And he never saw a woman, not even his mother. His mother was a deer. So he was a pretty innocent guy. He couldn't distinguish between a man and a woman because he thought, even if a woman came, he thought it was just a fancy man. So then what happened is that there was another king. His name was Romapad. Romapad basically means the king with hairy feet. Romapad. So this king with hairy feet, anyway, he had a problem. There was a drought in his kingdom. There was no water. And because there was no water, he wanted to do something. So he asked the Brahmins, what should I do to bring water to my kingdom? And they said, the only way you'll get water in your kingdom is you get the sage Rishi Sringa to visit your kingdom, then it'll rain immediately. So he thought, how can I get Rishi Sringa? Because if I go there, his father, Vibhantaka, will get angry with me. He'll curse me. So this is going to be a big problem. So he called for all the girls, the young prostitutes, and he said, one of you has to lure him here. And one of the best girls, I don't know, best or worst, she said, I can do it, just give me some money. Because I want to build a floating island on the river. Because Rishi Sringa and his father were right by a river. And we can float down, you know, with palm trees and banana trees and everything. We float down to where he is. And so that's what the king gave her, the money. They floated down to where Rishi Sringa's ashram is. She waited until Vivantika, Rishi Sringa's father, went away. And she snuck into the ashram. She may believe she was a Brahmin. And she was chanting, you know, the Chintamani Pukara Sadhana Sukhavriksha Lakshavateshu Suravi Abhipali Antam Govindamani Purusham. And when Rishi Sringa heard that, he thought, oh, there's a Brahmin coming with a little high voice. So the Brahmin, because Rishi Sringa was like 20 at that time. So he said to her, and he thought it was just like a brahmachari. He said, please come in. And of course he also asked her, you know, how come you look differently than the other men I've seen in my life? Anyway, he pointed out certain features on her body. And he said, oh, that's all right. You're a different type of Brahmin from a different country. So then he offered obeisances. Please accept my obeisances. All glories to Prabhupada. And then she said, but in my country, the Brahmins don't offer obeisances. They just embrace each other. So she embraced him, and he thought, this is better than obeisances. And anyway, so they had some talk like that, and he just couldn't forget her. So then the father was coming back, so she ran away back to the island. And then the father came back and found his son. His eyes were rolling, you know, because he was in love without knowing he was in love. His eyes were going, oh. And the father said, what happened with you? Did you smoke some of that stuff that was, you know, some of the herbs that were growing outside? And then he didn't say because he was embarrassed, but the father could detect. It was just like he had some interaction with the opposite sex. So the father was very careful. But then one day he went away again, and then she came back and she said, please come to my ashram. And he said, where's your ashram? She said, oh, right in the river there. So they walked and they came to this little island, you know, the floating island. And as soon as he got on it, they floated back down the river to Rumbapad's kingdom. And as soon as they got to Rumbapad's kingdom, the rain fell. And everyone was very happy. But Vibhondaka, he got back to his ashram and he found his son gone, and there were signs that something had happened. And he was really angry. And he knew through his mystic power that it was that Rumbapad who did that. So what he did is he was getting ready to curse Rumbapad. So he was running to the kingdom of Rumbapad, you know, to the palace, to curse Rumbapad for taking his son away. But Rumbapad was very intelligent, because he understood that he was going to be cursed by Vivantika. So instead of just having no one on the road, he assigned people to meet Vivantika on the road. And when Vivantika asked them, whose kingdom is this? They were told to reply, this is your son Rishi Sringa's kingdom. So that was a sort of a trick, because he's not going to curse his son. His son had become the prince. So he rushes back and he finds his son married, because his son had married, not the prostitute, but his son had married Shanti. Who was Shanti? Does anyone know? The daughter of Dasarath, because Dasarath had had a daughter. But Dasarath was not Shanti, he was not peaceful, because he had not had a son. But he gave Shanti away to his good friend Rumbapad. And so Vibhondaka said, all right, I'll tolerate this. You know, you're married. It's your kingdom now. So, but after she has a child, guess what? You're coming back. You got to go? I see. You're coming back after she has a child. So then Dasarath was informed about this whole interaction with Vivantika and Rishi Sringa and Shanti. And so then Dasarath requested them both to come, since Shanti was actually his daughter. He requested them both to come to perform this Putra Kameshti ceremony. So that's some of the things that occurred before the ceremony. And of course, we know the ceremony, the kheer was divided Of course, Kausalya, the eldest queen, got the first of the kheer, and then Kaikeyi got it, and then both of them divided it up and gave two portions to Sumitra. That's why Sumitra had two sons, Lakshman and Shatrughna, and they were both very attached to their respective brothers. Like, Lakshman was very attached to Ram, Shatrughna was very attached to Bharat. They were inseparable. That's why when Bharat was, when Ram went to the forest, Lakshman followed him. And even though Ram told Lakshman, "You can't come," Lakshman said, "I'm not going anywhere, because how can a person go without his shadow? I am your shadow." So this was the brotherly love. That's another good example. Following your duty, obeying the order of your father, loving your brother, taking care of your brother, being dharmic. So many good examples we find from the Ramayana. So I guess we have to end. Any questions? Quick questions? Questions or comments? Or problems? Ajamil, what? Yeah.
Ajamil, when Ajamil called up Narayan, he was called in
Krishna. That's right.
So, when he would have died at that time, left his body, would he have been moving from there to?
No. If Ajamil had died chanting Narayan in Namabash, he wouldn't have gone back to Godhead, but he would have taken a pious birth in his next life. However, what happened is that by the mercy of the holy name, the lifespan of Ajamil was increased, and he got a chance to perform bhakti yoga, Navabhakti, and then he went back to Godhead after that point. But he didn't go back to Godhead at the first time he saw the Vishnu Dutas and Yama Dutas. He wasn't qualified. He was qualified to be pious and take a pious birth in his next life because of Namabhas chanting. That's liberation from all karma. But to be qualified to go back to Godhead, you have to voluntarily surrender your life to Krishna and love Krishna 100%, a.k.a. ha urnandana. As Bhagavad Gita says, Vyavasayatmika budhir, a.k.a. ha urnandana, bho shaktas trinantas cha. You know this verse? Anyone know this? I'm sure Rasa Bihari knows the verse. That those who are on this path are one-pointed, and their intelligence is one. And those who are not, their intelligence is many branches, bone shakta, you know, many branches, anantascha. And let's see, the other verse is Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam dayaya pratichetasam vyavasayatmika budhir samadho navadhiyate. But those who are attached to bhoga, that means eating, like if people are attached to satisfying the tongue, for example, if they can't live without rotis in the morning, bhoga ishvarya, and opulence, prashaktanam, that means very attached. Prashaktanam means those who are very attached. Bhoga ishvarya, prashaktanam, taya pratichetasam, their mind cannot be focused on Krishna. But vyavasayatmika buddhiya, the determination that's required in devotional service, is never achieved. Samadho navadhiyate, they did not achieve that. So the whole idea is the only way you go back to Godhead is being attached to Krishna exclusively. Sarva dharman purichaja. Mam ekam. You know, ekam? Sharanam braja. Like Lord Ramchandra vowed, Eka Patni Vrata. So we should vow Eka God Vrata. You understand? Like Lord Ram only has one wife, and we should only have one God. And that doesn't include our tongue, our belly, genitals, mind, anger, or words. Yet these are your gods right now. You are worshiping false gods. False gods mean your tongue, your belly, your genitals, your mind, your anger and your words. Give it up. That's easier said than done, I know. Okay, on that happy note, we'll offer our obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Vo.